run environments and our aging infrastructure. In some cases, they are, over 200 years old.
The Trump administration has downplayed the warnings from scientists. However, this study also applauds local officials in the region for taking steps to plan for climate change. I'm Tramell Gomes.
The report says even if greenhouse gas emissions are reduced, average annual temperatures in states like Virginia could break records by the middle of the century. Low pay for early childhood educators and caregivers is creating a dire situation for many Washington state care centers and families there. Eric Tegedoff has the details from a new report.
The Economic Opportunity Institute surveyed more than 500 center directors and found poor compensation leads to high turnover rates, unfilled positions, and the need to limit enrollment. They said subsidies are too low, keeping early care from being affordable for many families. John Burbank, head of EOI, says most new workers in this field make a little more than minimum wage.
The cost of tuition is very high, in some cases $2,000 a month for one child, so that it really jeopardizes the financial security of the family.
The mean salary for child care workers was $27,800 in 2017. More than half the centers said they had unfilled positions at the time of the survey, and nearly 9 in 10 centers cited low wages as the reason it's difficult to hire qualified staff. About one-third of facilities said they had to limit enrollment in the past year or two because they couldn't find enough staff.
And finally, from Ohio, Mary Sherman tells us health clinics are popping up in retail stores and pharmacies. She reports new data reveal these newer models of healthcare improve access to medical treatment.
The 2018 Ohio Health Issues Poll, released by Interact for Health, found that about 1 in 5 Ohio adults has visited a retail clinic in the past year, primarily for treating an illness or getting a vaccination. As medical director of Franklin County Public Health, Dr. Miller Sullivan says having a regular healthcare home is important for management and prevention of disease. However, he contends these clinics are proving to be a cost-effective alternative to an emergency room for after-hours care.
The whole goal is to keep people healthy, and if they're sick, to help them get back to good health. And so when these mini-clinics first came out, I think several of us were wary about them. Are they going to provide good service? Are they going to take away our business? Basically, anything that's allowing someone to get good care is appropriate.
By the way, this is the first time the annual survey asked about retail clinics or telemedicine. I'm Mike Clifford. You've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Columbia Green Community College broke ground November 26 for its new $3.5 million construction technology building. The facility will house new career and technical programs, including a year-long certification program. The building is included in the college's three-phase $20 million capital project intended to help update its program offerings and to aid students in getting lucrative employment. The technical building is scheduled to be up and running by the fall of 2019. Greene County legislator Matthew Lavera, a Republican of Catskill, said, and I quote, "This is exciting progress. This is something we have been talking about for the last couple of years. Hopefully more of our students in Greene County will take advantage of it once it's built," end quote. Construction is on schedule despite some delays due to bad weather, school president James Champion said. He said, and I quote, "The new building represents a career pathway for those students interested in obtaining good-paying jobs locally," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Peter Flyerl is reporting for the Columbia paper. The Canaan Town Board last week acted on its 2019 town budget. The approved spending plan totals $1.3 million, including both the general and highway funds, and includes a townwide tax levy increase of 1.58%. Canaan is now one of 5 towns looking at a 40-year transition in the funding formula for rescue squad services. The plan involves an agreement among Chatham Rescue, Chatham-Ghent, New Lebanon, and Canaan. The cost for Canaan to participate could decrease from the current $188,000 to $174,000. The town of Austerlitz reportedly has not yet reached a decision. The State Department of Health mandates that every community must maintain an ambulance service, according to Flaro. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Tony Drobowski is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle. Berkshire Bank announced November 26 the resignation of its president and CEO, Michael P. Daley. Daley also stepped down from his role as director of Berkshire Hills Bank Corp, the bank's holding company as well. Berkshire Bank President Richard M. Marotta has been named CEO and president of the company and CEO of the bank and appointed to the board of directors. The changes are effective immediately. The release sent out by the bank did not include the reason why Daley decided to step down. Daley joined the bank in 1986. He is widely credited with growing Berkshire Bank to its present status as the largest regional bank headquartered in Massachusetts. The bank currently operates 115 full-service branches in six states, including locations in Chatham, East Greenbush, Hudson, and New Lebanon. Berkshire Bank has $12 billion in assets. Read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle. Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union. New York auditors say the state's opioid treatment program are not doing enough to ensure patient health and safety. This is largely due to their failure to utilize the state's prescription monitoring program. That program, known as the Internet System for Tracking Overprescribing, or ISTOP, requires all prescribers in the state to use electronic prescriptions. The system provides access to a patient's prescription history in an effort to prevent overprescribing and doctor shopping for multiple prescriptions. Under the law, treatment programs are required to check this registry every time they dispense medicine. The audit by the State Comptroller's Office, published November 26, found that during a four-year period from October 2013 through September 2017, more than 18,700 Medicaid patients were receiving prescription opioids outside of their addiction treatment regimen. Of those patients, 3% required medical care for an overdose that occurred within a month of receiving that prescription. 12 died from overdose. The audit also looked at the records of 25 Medicaid recipients who were receiving opioids outside of their treatment regimen. The review found that ISTOP was checked just 18 times for the 25 recipients, and none of the treatment programs were checking the registry when the take-home dose of medicine was dispensed. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Here are some more headlines from WOOCLP, WGXC's partner station in Troy.
Paul Manafort has breached his plea agreement with the Justice Department by lying to the FBI and special counsel Robert Mueller's office 2 months after he started to cooperate in the Russia probe. Manafort lied on a variety of subject matters, violating his plea agreement, prosecutors said, in a 3-page filing signed by both the defense team and prosecution. Both sides asked the judge to now move this case forward in sentencing.
Steven Hillenburg, creator of beloved children's show SpongeBob SquarePants, has passed away at age 57 from ALS. A marine biologist by training, he will be remembered by kids and adults alike for the magical world under the sea that he created.
President Trump today rejected the report issued by his own administration over the effects of climate change. The National Climate Assessment shows that climate change is already costing United States billions of dollars each year due to natural disasters. When asked about the aspect of this report, Trump said, "I don't believe it."
GM has announced that it is slashing 14,700 jobs as it pulls production out of North America. President Trump has threatened to cut the company's subsidies in response to the move.
The massive wildfire that killed dozens of people and destroyed thousands of homes in Northern California has been fully contained after burning for more than 2 weeks, authorities said Sunday. The nation's deadliest wildfire in a century killed at least 85 people, and 249 are on the list of those unaccounted for. The number of missing dropped in recent days as officials confirmed that more people were alive.
The CDC has confirmed that a disease known as acute flaccid myelitis, or AFM, has spread to at least 116 people across 31 states. The rare polio-like disease leads to a sudden onset of paralysis and is most common in children under 4. Scientists are unsure how the disease is spread, but suspect mosquito bites and/or viral infection. Current treatments have not been effective.
Tune in or turn out during Winter Walk, Saturday, December 1st from 5 to 8 p.m. Stop by the First Presbyterian Church and see the WGXC Hudson Studios in the basement on the 4th Street side. Enter at the WGXC door on the 4th Street side at the First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Warren Street and 4th Street during Winter Walk, Saturday, December 1st from 5 to 8 p.m. Stop by and meet WGXC staff and programmers in the WGXC Hudson Studio. Have your say on the radio, record a promo for your nonprofit organization, or just stop by to say hello. Saturday, December 1st from 5 to 8 p.m. during Winter Walk at the Hudson WGXC Studio.
This is Brian DeWan. I leave my clock radio tuned to 90.7 FM so that when it goes off in the morning, the first thing I hear is WGXC.
Here's the Adirondacks, a poem from John Ashbery, who lived in Columbia County and died September 2017.
The Adirondacks. The fermented ball pods, the woman licking them, already dead. She was the daughter of a woman who used to live in this house, this street. The mind cannot close its doors, equal only in the plain imagination. Woman born out of chaos into certain valors. The curdled wind exploits grooved stealths. My gracious, the house is caving in. Shed was replaced. Trees explain the doctrine of light, and your perjured guests remove the grave libido of Egyptian tears, famous at certain times, and tea and rice. So you have got to be going. The times made you think so. If only shapely people, the street making a mock of it, an Indian ballet directed on the border of some crater with leaves, waves, a bonanza of curses salute this unworthy attempt at self-deification, more than abnormal fits of stuff, lint, the kind that gets in your mattress. The rose, two interpretations of it likely. The penal one, shadow over the pineapple, your handwriting, and the juridic one, in which you get lost in water. Afternoon creating dark heaps, I can distinguish a buckle and some water near the raft, your countenance. You were falling apart telling me to stop dying. You filled my teeth. There was a time when nothing, stained maths, was of any use. The example of the way in which you, in your chair, forced over into a growl and total banality. The prison term which followed drove you insane. Then, after long years in the county hospital, you were released, only to be run over by a 20-ton truck. The doctors despaired of saving you. But finally, after a series of blood transfusions, during which you caught typhus, you were wafted clear of death's grimy brink. I make no mention of hereditary syphilis, but the word exists. Like the possibilities of suffering in the funereal human form, that swans were made to suffer us, the awkward north light you knew so well coming home in the wet street, aware of intense cold battering your brain tissues like dozens of photoelectric cells on a dark night. So, no point in taking the carnation idea any further. Not that you didn't want it, it simply isn't worthy of you. Like a reef, which lives its own life quietly away from the sea, as a firm bandage. The autumn mile stains judiciously these hopes, promises tidied away, by giant bands impinging on world envy of skyscrapers that seem open, penetrable by lisped equations about the anxiety elixir, and the money you were fortunate in having, the veils mounting suddenly into frost, casting down your head to new nuptial tragedy. Letter that goes on to feeble contagion that someday will pilot you past the first hummocks into triple disaster of bed, faucet, and urn. The capital, combining all this rage with the urge to feel the muscles in its grave, inherited by a tiger and carefully swept up each year at about this time, at spring cleaning time, the klaxon said.
Here is legendary Hudson Valley saxophonist Joe McPhee and New York City experimental musician Matt Motel performing together in the Wave Farm Study Center, November 18th, 2018.
Thank you. Joe McPhee in the studio. I'm Matt Motel on an assortment of sonic devices.
Sonic disruptors.
Sonic disruptors. Yeah.
Here's a John Cage performance by the SEM Ensemble from 1974 in Albany, New York. This is Songbook 1 and 2.
Did you need to call it?
Was the SEM Ensemble performing in Albany in 1974 the John Cage tracks Songbooks 1 and 2. Here's Tomika Reed with 2017 new music called Transiti from her Here and Now Not Living in Fear record. Thank you.
want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Hi, I'm Laura from Hudson at the Hudson Farmers Market. You're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM hands-on radio.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a